What are we supposed to be reading? Exodus 20? I don't have the exact verses. Oh, here I would. 1 to 17? It's Wednesday, right? Why are we reading this in Lent? Exodus 21 to 17. John 2. Is anybody in the line? Or should we wait another minute, or is this about it? Huh? All right, we'll wait 1 minute. Exodus 20, verse 1, the Decalogue. This is the first time around, that is in Exodus. And it's slightly different from Deuteronomy when Moses repeats it. But let's dive in. Verse 1, V'yidaber Elohim et kol ha-divarim ha'ela lemor. Here are the words. Remember in Deuteronomy he says, I said all this stuff, and then he kind of quotes himself. But here Elohim spoke, V'yidaber, P-A-L in perfect, while consecutive. The direct object is introduced by eighth. All the words to these, Hadivarim Ha'ela, Lamor. Quote, Anoki Yahweh Eloheka, Sherod Seteka, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, with Beth, Mabeth Avadim. I am Yahweh Eloheka, your Elohim, Asher, who, Hotseteka, literally, who I brought. The who here is really first person. So the Hotseteka has the T ending, which is first person. Who brought you, Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Abeth Avanim. That's easy enough. From the land of Egypt, from literally a house of slaves, or bondage, slavery, if you take the plural as intensive and not extensive. I think that's sort of technical jargon for languages that have an intensive plural. We have only an extensive plural. You extend the number, you don't intensify the concept, but Hebrew has this intensive plural. Okay? 3. Lo yiye laka Elohim achirim al panai. Not will be to you God's other ones upon my face. Literally, al panai, upon my face. Lo ta'ase laka pesel v'kol timuna. Not you will asa for you a pestle, an idol, and any image. That wow is not in Deuteronomy. That's a very minor problem. It's probably a scribal slip. But it's interesting that here you have the wow. Is this an appositional wow? A pestle, i.e. any timuna? Or is this intended to be sort of two complementary items? A pestle or and any image. Not just a pestle, but any image. Which, Bashamaya Mama'al, which in the heavens from above, or which is in the earth from below, Mitachath, or which, Ba'mayim, in the waters, Mitachath La'aretz. This is very awkward, sort of wordy, too many prepositions way of saying it. Or which is in the water from underneath to the earth. From the underneath area belonging to the earth. I think that's kind of the paraphrase here. The underworld, all right? This is the underworld. Lo tishtachwe lahem. Now, even the beginning Hebrew students know that tishtachwe is the eshtafel or the hishtafel of the verb chawa, which is more than even the experts knew two generations ago. That strange sort of form. The only biblical form like this, and yet a very common word, so it's worth knowing, for bow down or worship, or literally the hifil reflexive, cause oneself to bow down. You will not bow down, lahem, to them. Velot of dame, and you will not, and again, this is a sort of a controversial form. We went over this in class, remember, those who are in our Hebrew class in Deuteronomy. As it stands, this looks like a hophal, and I would argue should therefore be translated as a hophal, with the comet's katuf at the beginning. The grammar books don't know what to do with this. Gazanius Couch just says odd form of kal, or could be hophal. If we trach it as a hophal, then it would mean something like, you will not be caused to serve them. You will not be caused to serve them. You will not worship them or even be caused to serve them. But there's no English translation that takes it that way. All right. Every English translation reads this as kal. Why not? Ki ano ki Yahweh Eloheka. I am Yahweh your God, or I Yahweh your God am. Here's where you got to put the verb. An El Kana, a God, a Kana one. Kana really means to have zeal for something, to do what has to be done. It's kind of the idea of Kanaing. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Isaiah 9 verse 6. There it's translated zeal. So I've never been terribly pleased with the old translation jealous here, mainly because most people think jealous is something bad, and this is something good. But it also means sort of claiming what is rightfully mine. I, Yahweh your God, am an El Kana, pokade, visiting, doing the appropriate action, the alone of the Avoth upon the Banim, upon the Shileshim and the Ribbeim. Hey, now we've had numbers, guys, right? This, you can see that Shileshim is related to the number Shalosh, which means three. But this is a particular form of the number that actually means not three, not third, but third generation. And you'll see that there's a dagish in the middle root letter there, somewhat akin to the PL, but it's just a sort of a different form of the word three that means specifically third generation, because the word for generation isn't here. Where'd they get that? See? It's not just third or fourth, but it actually means the third generation. And upon the Rivveim, Rive is from the verb, from the number four. You learn the basic number is Arba. Here it's just Ribbeim. Lison I, belonging to my hating ones. Sana is the verb. Sone is the participle. Sonaim is the plural participle. Take off the im, put on I, which is the pronominal suffix that goes on a plural noun. My blanks, my hating ones. Belonging to my hating ones. Presumably, they're hating me. That's why they're my hating ones. Belonging to my hating ones. And note the other participle. Now, this matches the pokade. And doing chesed to the elafim. Elaf is just the word for thousand. So this is really the plural, thousands. Though almost everybody agrees that in context with third and fourth generation, and the fact that when this is cited elsewhere, it's often cited with the word door. Door is the word for generation. That this doesn't mean just thousands, but means thousandth generation to parallel the third and the fourth generation. In either case, the contrast is striking. Between visiting iniquity and doing chesed, between third and fourth generations restricted to those who hate me, and the thousandth generation described by those who love me and keep my commandments. So the gospel's always bigger than law, is sort of the point here. I mean, it's a great little verse where you have nice law, gospel, two halves of the verse kind of in parallelism with each other, but the gospel side is bigger. Doing chesed to the thousandth generation, belonging to my loving ones. Ahav, same participial form. Ohave, my loving ones, and belonging to the keepers of my mitzvoth, my commandments. Okay? 7. Lo tisa et shem Yahweh lehek l'shav. Not you will lift up tisa from root nasa, the name of Yahweh your God, literally to the vain purpose, no good purpose. Ki, because, lo yinake Yahweh, naka means to be innocent, in the PL to acquit or hold guiltless, as it's sometimes translated. Because Yahweh will not acquit or count as guiltless, eth asher, the one who, yisa eth shemo, lifts up his shame, shemo, lashav, in vain. 8. Zakor. Here's a difference. We just did this morning, right? In Deuteronomy, it wasn't Zakor, it was, do you remember? Shamor, keep, guard, observe. This says Zakor, remember. Remember the Yom HaShabbat. It's kind of interesting. Why is it remember here? What is 8a? Is there a footnote on this? What does it say down there? 8a. Again, you look at the critical apparatus, that little squiggle line stands for the Samaritan Pentateuch. The Samaritan Pentateuch here reads, what? Shamor. They've got it the same as Deuteronomy. But Leningrad reads Zakor. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of difference here, but remember the day of the Sabbath. Was the Sabbath day something, was this a novum at Sinai? See, I mean, I don't think so, right? I mean, if God really built the Sabbath into the system in Genesis 1 and 2, this wasn't like, oh, now we got to think about a Sabbath day. That's one thing. So it's not like this is a novum, so to remember it might be a very appropriate. Remember the day of the Shabbat, l'kadosho, to sanctify it, kadash, to sanctify it, kadash in the PL. Sheshet, verse 9, Sheshet yamim ta'avoz va'asitha kol milachtaka. 6 days you will avad and you will asa all of your milaka, all your job. V'yom ha'shavi'i. Hey, this is the same problem we had in Deuteronomy, right? Yom, you'd like to have an article on it, right? Look at the footnote. 10a. Again, here the same thing. You've got some manuscripts reading uvayom, in the day, on the day, the seventh. Actually, that preposition doesn't work all that well because yom seems to me to be the subject of the sentence. It's not on the Sabbath day or on the seventh day, but it says the seventh day is Shabbat to Yahweh Eloheka. Lo ta'aseh, you will not do, kol milaka, any of your, any milaka, ata, ubinneka, ubiteka, avdeka, uamateka, ubehemteka. You and your bane and your bath, your evid and your ama, your manservant and your maidservant, and your behema, the big animals, and your gear, your sojourner, who is in your sha'ars, in your gates. We don't have time to go through all of this text critical stuff, but man, you should even notice by the end of verse 10, you always start over with footnote A every verse, and by the end of verse 10, you're on footnote G. That's a lot of problems with one verse. And if you go down, I mean, are these minor things? The Nash Papyrus seems to be citing. You'd have to work through all the differences here. Doesn't look like it's anything major. But that's a lot of little problems with one verse. All right, verse 11. Ki sheshet yamim asa Yahweh eth ha-shamayim ve'eth ha-aretz. Because 6 yamim, days, asa Yahweh. Yahweh made, asa, eth ha-shamayim ve'eth ha-aretz. Yahweh made the heavens, I guess, the heavens and the earth. Eth ha-yam ve'eth kol asher bam. Also, or now this is like an appositive, the heavens and the earth, big picture. Then he zeroes in on Hayam, the sea, and Kol Asher Bam. And what does that say? All which bam in them. What's the them? Must be the heavens and the earth, right? Yahweh made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all which is in them. V'yanach, v'yanach, parse it, v'yanach, imperfect vowel consecutive. The yod prefix has a comets after it. That comets tells you that the root is hollow. The root is nuach, nuach, to rest. And he rested bayom hashivi'i on, here's your buh, that makes more sense, on the day, the seventh day. Al-Kain, Bay-Rock. Therefore, Al-Kain, Bay-Rock, P-L of Barak, subject is Yahweh. Yahweh blessed the Yom HaShabbat, and he kadashed it. He set it apart. Before you can set it apart, Yahweh had to set it apart. Interesting here that in Exodus, the reason for, or what you're supposed to do, or the reason for the seventh day, or the Sabbath commandment, is what? Creation. Because God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. So, you do the same thing. In Deuteronomy, the reason for the Sabbath commandment is, what are you supposed to, why do you do that? You're supposed to remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, Yahweh your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and outstretched arm. That's what you're supposed to do. It's a different reason. Right? It's interesting that the reason in Exodus is creation and the reason in Deuteronomy is redemption. And those two themes do kind of collapse into each other sooner or later when redemption is perceived as new creation. Yeah.
You know, what's interesting about that is Luther quoted specifically Deuteronomy and not Exodus in his argumentation.
Yeah.
To the ethnicity or something of the Jews, but interestingly enough, does not comment on the Exodus 20.
On the Exodus 20, yeah.
Unless you have to remember that thou shalt sanctify the Holy.
See, I would argue, frankly, that we did participate in the Exodus, first of all, so that we could claim it on the basis of Deuteronomy just as well. And secondly, you're still stuck with creation. I mean, you know, you still have to deal with that. Well, you can do 3 rounds with your Seventh-day Adventist friends on this one, huh? But you better think this through. 12. Kabed eth avika v'imeka. Kabed, the PL imperative of kavad, take seriously, if you will, honor. Treat as important your father and your mother, so that Ya'arikun, what's the nun at the end of Ya'arikun? Anergic nun. Boy, Jim, can you, these guys just learned about anergic nun this morning. They can't wait to use this. Can you say it in Latin, though? That's the important thing. Nun energicum. All right, now you have arrived. So that your days will be arach, will be long, Al Ha'adama, which upon the Adama, one of my great life's projects would be to sort out once and for all, and probably it can't be done, like most great life's projects, the difference between Adama and Eretz. It's sort of my working hypothesis that Eretz is always a little bit more focused, and Adama is always a little broader. Adama is kind of the dirt, the land, in sort of the organic sense. You have these little threads in already in the Old Testament with Adama being a concept something more than just a well-defined and politically determined piece of real estate in the Middle East. That might be Eretz, but I don't think it's really Adama. Ezekiel is a key in this whole thing, because the whole restoration is the Admath Yisrael, and he's really hung up on Adamah there, but that's a topic for another day. So that your days will be long upon the earth, the land, which Yahweh your God, no thing lack, is giving to you. All right, now we get the quickies. Lo tirzak, lo tinaf, lo tingof, tignov. You know this in English, so you know what it says. Except that ratzak doesn't mean kill. I think you have to make the case that whatever word you pick here, it's a little more focused than just kill. Ratzak, I would opt for the word murder. Ratzak really means to take a life for no justifiable reason. And if you translate it this way, you will not murder, you've just already begun to solve, you know, so much mischief over this commandment in terms of issues of capital punishment and just war theory. And again, it kind of goes back to just reading the text. You will not murder, you will not, na'af really means to commit adultery. That's fair enough, cheat on your wife. Though comes to be sort of general for any kind of sexual impropriety. Essentially means adultery. You will not ganav. Ganav is to steal, take what is not yours. You will not ane bereka aid shaker. You will not ana, respond, give answer against or with reference to your rea. You will not give as answer an aid, a witness, a shocker one. Shocker really means false, a lying witness. All right? It's interesting, Deuteronomy, this is a false witness, an aith l'shav, using shav, a vain witness. So in a sense, it's not just lying, but you can even tell the truth and be violating this commandment. Something lost on certain people in the church today, that the truth does not necessarily exonerate you from violations of the Eighth Commandment. Remember the, quote, false witnesses against our Lord were, in a sense, telling the truth, right? He claimed to be the Son of God. Was that true or false? 17. Lo tachmod kamad is probably good for covet, just to desire. Desire isn't bad. Desire. The bath of your rea, you will not kamoth. Interesting here in Exodus, kamoth is used for both what we call the ninth and tenth commandments. And Deuteronomy is two different verbs. Deuteronomy makes a little bit better case for calling them two different commandments because they're two different verbs, but they're synonyms. Kamoth merely means to want, desire something because you like it. And awa means, it's in the hithpael there in Deuteronomy, to want for yourself. It really gets that sort of hithpael reflexive in there. You will not desire the eshet of your neighbor, the wife of your neighbor, avdo, his evid, his ama, his female servant, his shor, his kamor, or anything which belongs to your neighbor. That's the possessive, anything which your neighbor has. Jim, we got to quit. It's 10 after here. You know, we got carried away here. Any quick questions? How does this relate to, where are we, John 2?